Hello and welcome to The Family Show. I'm your host, Eleanor Rossman, and joining me today and every week are Brendan Randy Lee, but Brenda couldn't be
here. She's here in spirit, supporting me, trying to protect me from myself.
You know, before we get started today on our topic, which is very interesting, but wait, I have to wait for just a minute, I want to plug our dinner, Holy Family Radio Benefit Dinner. There's still time to make your reservation now. And our speaker will be Father Wade Menezes from EWTN. I'm sure lots of you have heard him. You can make your reservation at 720WHYF.com. The reservation deadline is April 1st.
And the dinner is April 12th, I heard.
The dinner, thank you for that. It's Friday, April 12th at the Sheraton Harrisburg Hershey Hotel in Harrisburg. And the cost is $100. So please get your calendars out and
social event of the season.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Lots of prizes, door prizes, music, all that fun stuff. So we hope you can do that. So Randy, this week we're talking about dread.
Dread. Well, actually, let me get a running start into that if I can. why I picked such a somber topic, right?
Happy topic.
But anyway, last month, Brenda and I were out at St. Joan of Arc in Hershey for the Che Lorum. First Wednesday of each month, 7 p.m., they do praise and worship before the Blessed Sacrament, anointed praise and worship band. That happens to include three members of my family, but it's still an anointed praise and worship band, right? Anyway, so I was rummaging around in some papers, flyers, bulletins they had out in the back of the church. And on one of these papers, I see this line from Matthew 4:4, Jesus's temptation in the desert. Man does not live by dread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I immediately think to myself, obviously a typo.
It's a typo, right?
It's a typo, right? Dread is supposed to be
bread.
Bread. Yeah, right. Exactly. Man does not live by bread alone. But then it strikes me, that's not a typo. That's one of the most divinely inspired messages I have ever read, right? That captures the state of man, the state of our time, the state of our world, the church, right? That line captures the most pressing problem we need to address today. We are trying today to live on dread alone, and it can't be done, right? What Jesus is saying, right, building on the typo, right? Man shall not live by dread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What are the words that proceed from the mouth of God? They are the source of true hope, right? That's what's proceeding from the mouth of God, right?
Right.
What is dread? Dread is the absence of hope.
Yes, the opposite, really.
Right? What is the gospel saying, typo factored in, right? We can't live without hope. That's what that saying is. That's what it's saying, right? In particular, we can't live without a real, true hope rooted in God, the words that come from the mouth of God. My all-time favorite scientific experiment, no doubt because I'm incredibly twisted, right? Because you'd have to be like twisted and sadistic or something to think this is a great experiment. But anyway, my favorite all-time scientific experiment, rats in the aquarium, sometimes repeated in a bucket, right? There are a few variations of this experiment, but the most famous variation occurred at Johns Hopkins in the 1950s. This is a real thing, right?
Huh.
Guy puts rats in a bucket of water, right? They can't get out. They swim around for 15 minutes. They try climbing the walls. They can't do it. Rats actually are very good climbers, but the walls of the bucket are just too slick, right? The rats realize they can't get out. They stop swimming. They sink to the bottom. Experiment is over in 15 minutes, right? Then what the experimenter does, right, is he reaches into the bucket. He grabs the sinking, drowning rats, right? He dries them off. And then after he dries them off, he sticks them back in the bucket. But this time the rats swim forever, right? The rats are still swimming after 60 hours in the bucket.
Is this for real?
This is for real. I am not making this up. Well, I mean, you go, wow, how did anyone ever think to do this?
Because I think I know where it would go. Okay.
Right. And it's not only for real, it's the same rats, right? So 15 minutes, 60 hours, right? What's the difference? Second time around, the rats believed they could be rescued.
Right.
Right. They knew there was a hand that could save them, even if they couldn't see it. So they just keep swimming, right? First time around, the rats believed escape was impossible. A rat without hope stops swimming almost immediately.
And it's interesting because really, if rats can think, they figured
think survival.
Okay, but they're on their own. They knew they were on their own. They didn't even anticipate a hand coming in to save them.
And boom, 15 minutes. What can I do for me?
Right.
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's over.
Yeah.
Right? A rat without hope stops swimming almost immediately, but a rat with hope swims forever.
Mm.
Are people any different? Right? Man does not live by dread alone. Why not? Because people need hope or they will stop swimming, right? We are constantly being told today that the under 30 crowd, the under 40 crowd is turning away from God, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nobody gives us the other half of the demographic. As this generation excludes God from their lives, deaths from despair are skyrocketing.
Yeah.
Right? Drugs, alcohol, suicide, skyrocketing.
It's like, right? Connect the dots here. Yeah.
30-year-old men have 60-year-old livers, psoriasis of the liver.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mental illness, addictions, all skyrocketing. Right? We're trying to live without God. Right?
Yeah.
We cannot live, right, without God. As we are told in Genesis, it is not good for man to be alone.
Right.
We cannot make it alone, right? So does it have to be a hope in God, right? Can't it just be any hope, right? Can't I hope in people or technology or the force, you know, just
good luck,
just something to deceive me, right?
Yeah.
And here's the problem. If you are hoping in something other than God, you're hoping in something that will ultimately
disappoint or fail.
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
It will fail you.
Mm-hmm.
You're deceiving yourself. And self-deception is not hope, and it will not bear the same fruits as hope.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Jeremiah 17, the man who does not trust in the Lord is like a shrub in the desert dying of thirst.
Yeah.
But the man who trusts in the Lord is like a tree planted by water, right? It doesn't say if a man doesn't trust in something, you can call it anything you want, but you got to trust in something. But it says, but if what you're planted by is a desert, right, then you're going to wither, right? You got to be planted near water.
Near the source.
Exactly, right? It's so cool that we see this quote, this typo, man does not live by dread alone, right? And when we see it, we happen to be at St. Joan of Arc, right? Because in the midst of attack from the British, right, the most powerful army in the world, right? In the midst of attack, even by the French at that point, right? Everyone seemingly has turned against this teenage girl. And what does St. Joan of Arc say? I'm not afraid. God is with me. I was born for this, right? We're watching this faltering breakdown, this decay of the human spirit. And here's this great example of the triumph of the human spirit, St. Joan of Arc, right? She's rooted in God, right? And what's she telling us? Do not be afraid or despairing.
Mm-hmm.
God is with you. You were born for this, right? It's so fun. You look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, apostles, right? They're out in the boat. Big storm blows in. Jesus is asleep in the boat, right? They all know they're going to drown. So they go to Jesus. They wake him up. all the translations, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all the translations have the apostles speaking in these nice, complete, coherent sentences, right? You know, God, doesn't it matter that we are in a storm? We're going to try, right? They're speaking in these complete sentences. Father John Ricardo, Acts 29 ministry, he says, if you go back to the original Greek, what the apostles really say, right? The original Greek, Lord, save, lost, right? That's it. You know, no sentences, Lord, save, lost. These guys are so overwhelmed. They're so freaked out. They're so despairing. All they can get out is three words, no sentences at all, right? The translators clean it up for them, right? Lord, save, lost. But Jesus understands, right? And they matter to him, so he saves them, right? And that's why we can hope in him, right? That's why being in his proximity is like being at the side of the river where we get nourished, we get fed, we don't wither, right? But if you don't have that kind of solid foundation, right? If you don't have Jesus in the front of that boat, right?
You are lost.
You are lost. Yeah. You cannot live in that boat by yourself, right? You cannot grow as a tree in the desert, right? Man does not live by bread alone.
Mm-hmm. So we know what the answer is, but how do we call, like you said, this generation of young people to hope? I mean, you've got to be able to access them. I mean, it's a big question, because if they're not affiliated with a church, they don't believe in God.
That's exactly, Eleanor, that's exactly right. So kind of narrows the scope of things, right? They're not affiliated with a church.
Yeah.
So they're not going to see it in a church, right?
Yeah.
So let me just think for a minute. If they're in darkness, they got to get to
the light.
The light. Who's the light? He called us to be the light, right? The incredible thing is not that they have to, that we have to access them. They have to be able to access us. They have to see that light in us.
Let's take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to The Family Show on Holy Family Radio, so please stay tuned. We are back with The Family Show on Holy Family Radio, where we're talking about young people who are not affiliated with the church or kind of reject God, really. How do we reach out to them so that they can have the hope that is necessary?
Yeah, and you know, we picked up on that dynamic, typo, misquote, divine inspiration, I guess it really is, you know, man does not live by bread alone, right? And I think, Eleanor, what it really comes down to, right, is we got these people living in darkness. And if we are not light, if we are, that's our job, right? If we are not light, if we are not hopeful, then they're going to remain in darkness, right? So what we need to change is we need to be people who illuminate hope, right? That we embrace God's hope and they see it coming from us. And if they see it coming from us, then they're going to respond to what they're seeing, right? If you are in the presence of light, you cannot remain in darkness, right?
So we need to be the light of Christ.
We need to be the light of Christ, right? We've been talking about how people need to hope in God, right? Man cannot live by bread alone. And I think the biblical poster child for living on bread alone has got to be the woman at the well, the woman at the well, right? She's the only one in town who draws water during the heat of the
right.
day, right? What's that tell you?
She doesn't want to be seen with the...
That's right.
No,
the fire from...
Shamed, whatever.
Exactly. The fire from the sun isn't as scorching as the judgment of her peers.
Exactly.
The fire from the sun isn't as scorching as the judgment of her peers.
Mm-hmm.
So when can I go and be by myself, as you were saying, right?
Right.
This woman, she's been married 5 times, whether it's divorce or being widowed, doesn't say, but whether it's divorce, being widowed, that has to take a toll on you.
And she's living with somebody who's not her husband.
Exactly. The sixth guy doesn't even bother to marry her.
Right.
Right. You got to wonder why she keeps getting on the same merry-go-round, right? This life where people just take what they want and then they throw her away,
mm-hmm.
right? Love costs, but it doesn't reward, it doesn't reciprocate, right? That's the world she's living in. In Piano Man, Billy Joel has this classic line. They're sharing a drink they call loneliness, but it's better than drinking alone.
Mm.
And that's where she is,
mm-hmm.
right? This woman is so lonely in her life, but she can't leave it bad as it is,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's her life, and she's afraid of stepping out of it. She's afraid that stepping out of it would be worse than where she is.
Yeah.
Right? However, if you want to understand the story, you can't start there. You can't start with her. Right, to understand the story, you have to start, of all places, with Philip and Nathaniel, right? Also known as Bartholomew, right? Nathaniel's also known as Bartholomew. Calling of the Apostles. So Philip meets Jesus, right? He gets all excited. He runs to get his buddy Nathaniel. As Nathaniel is walking up to Jesus, Jesus says two things.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, right, first, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile.
Mm-hmm.
And second, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree,
mm-hmm.
I saw you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is Nathaniel without God? No, right? Only God is good, right?
Okay.
Only God alone is good, right?
Yeah.
So Nathaniel is not without guile. Nathaniel has lots of flaws. But does Jesus see Nathaniel's guile? Or does Jesus see Nathaniel as good, as desirable, as lovable, as beautiful,
mm-hmm.
right? Second, does Jesus see beyond time and space? And the answer to that is?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Does he see Nathaniel miles away? Yes.
Yeah.
Similarly, does Jesus know Peter will deny him in the future?
Yes.
Does Jesus know Judas will betray him in the future?
Yes.
Yes. Therefore, when Jesus sits down beside the well, does Jesus know the Samaritan woman is going to show up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So what's Jesus doing by that well? He's not waiting for water. Mm-hmm. You go to the story, he never gets water. Jesus is waiting for her.
Mm-hmm.
So why is he waiting for her?
Like he's waiting for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the really cool part of it. He's waiting for all of us how many at a time?
Yeah, because they don't give her a name. She's the woman at the well. So,
But he waits for us how many at a time? One. One. He's not waiting for, right? He's waiting for you as an individual.
Yeah.
He's not waiting for Eleanor to show up with a crowd of 6,000 people.
Right, exactly. Right? Very personal.
I'm going to park myself where Eleanor is going to be, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Why? Because he sees her as he sees Philip. He sees her as good, as beautiful, right? Jesus saw this woman across time and space, and he fell in love with her.
Amazing.
He found her beautiful in spite of everything in her life, right? He knows of her wounds. He knows of her failures. He knows of her brokenness, and it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
He still waits by the well in the heat of the day
mm-hmm.
for
her,
which is a pretty odd choice, right? If you're in the salvation restoration business in a town full of pagans, why do you park yourself in a spot only one person is going to come to, right? Don't you go to where the crowds are? If you're looking to save the world,
right,
you go to where everybody is, right?
And isn't that so much like us sometimes? We think, well, I got to do something big. What can I do? Like, we don't look at that just at each moment, at each place we're in, let's say at the grocery store, whatever, you're online, and you smile at somebody else. We sometimes overlook these little ways, you know, of being light.
What's fascinating is because it's for Jesus. She is big,
right?
She's the biggest thing he could be doing in that moment,
right?
Because he
loves her.
Loves her. And when you're in love with someone, whatever you do for them, whatever you do with them is big, right? Why wait there for her alone? Because in that moment, she is the most important person in Jesus' world. If one is lost, he leaves the other
99,
yeah. Right? That's what he's doing.
Which
it's
is
not
a mind-blowing
a
thing. How many times have we heard that scripture and it's like, wow. Really? Is that how he...
It's about farms and sheep. No, it's not. It's about you, right? Right. The irony here is that if you had asked her before she met Jesus if she needed another man in love with her, I'm sure she would have said...
I'm tired.
Exactly. No way. Right. No, I don't need more of that, right? Every other person who loved her took from her,
but
right? Who needs that again?
She lacked, you can see that she lacked hope because she feels stuck. And a lot of people do feel that way. I'm stuck in this situation. And that means I'm without hope.
That's right. Because she has been hoping in people.
Yeah.
And nothing against people, but they're not God.
Right.
Right? Every other person who loved her took from her. Yeah, she doesn't need that again. But this Jesus, his love doesn't take from her. It gives to her. It longs to give to her, right? It quenches her thirst, right? Matthew Kelly has this great quote. If you knew the gift God was sharing with you at this moment, everything, including your perspective, would change, right? Before Jesus shows up, she draws water every day, but she's always thirsty.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Even after she drinks, she's thirsty.
Right.
Jesus shows up and she leaves her water jug behind.
And isn't that's like us, you know, no matter what we try to fill up in our lives, if it isn't God, we're going to continue to want more.
That's exactly right. She drinks of him and she knows she'll never thirst again.
Right.
Right. Before he shows up, she's overwhelmed by discouragement. She's living on dread, right? Jesus shows up. She's like, I will never live on dread again.
Mm-hmm.
This woman who couldn't bear to be around her neighbors suddenly goes out to gather them all up.
Wait.
So she can bring them to Jesus.
Yeah, she says, he told me everything about myself.
And none of it mattered.
Right. Like, and they all knew about it anyway.
The source of her exclusion becomes the source of her ministry.
Yeah.
Right? This woman who felt defined by her brokenness is now convinced that brokenness no longer matters.
And do we believe that Jesus loves us, not because of our sins, but in spite of them?
That's right. That's exactly right. Does Jesus look down and see me as good? Does he see me the way he sees Philip? Does he see me as he sees the woman as well? Does he see me as he sees the woman as well? Does he see me beautiful? And the answer to that is yes, right?
Right.
He does, because he loves you, right? First week of Lent, we were talking about how we see Lent as I give something up for 40 days, mm-hmm. and then we get to Easter, and I get my life back.
Right.
Lent's a drag,
yeah.
Life's a drag, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we need to see Lent as preparing ourselves to receive what God wants to give us,
mm.
how God wants to love us.
Like open up the space for him.
Right? God can create anything, right? He can create anything he wants. He doesn't need our stuff.
Yeah.
God is in this relationship because he wants to give us abundant life. He wants us to live abundantly, right? God wants us to grow, to be light, to be alive. Lent is replanting yourself by his water.
Yeah.
Right? That's what we need to be doing, right? Just pull the roots up and go plant them next to the one who's going to nourish you with water so that you don't have to be thirsty,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what this is about. That's what this is about. Man does not live by bread alone, so stop trying.
Stop trying, right? Hey, we're out of time, Randy. This always happens to us.
No.
But I want to give another plug to the Holy Family Radio Benefit Dinner on Friday, April 12th at the Sheraton Harrisburg Hershey Hotel with a wonderful priest, Father Wade Menezes. And the cost is $100, and you can make that reservation at 720WHYF.com. You can also call us at 717-525-8110. And
keep us in your prayers.
For Brendan, Randy Lee, I'm Eleanor Ross, and we leave you with the beautiful sound of seasons.